77 WABC.
Minutes after the hour of five, yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, accompanying you on your drive home at five. And it's guns, guns, guns. That's the talk of our country. It's almost like an Onyx song. You know, thugs putting guns in the air like they just don't care. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you, it's good to know that the temperatures are beginning to drop a bit so that we're not being gripped by global warming and climate change as it was yesterday when it was 78 degrees outside in Central Park. Now you may have to start putting on the long winter underwear because you're freezing your tuchus off. But, oh, the chickens have come home to roost. That's right, coming out of the closet today was a guy who had been ducking, juking, jiving, hiding from his many adversaries. A guy who in the past always welcomed taking on all comers, but in the aftermath of the Parkland shooting, the 17 dead in that high school, and subsequently following that, the emergence of youth activists taking to the Greyhounds, pounding the hound, going to Tallahassee, demanding that there be a debate on gun control, which had been scheduled in their state legislature, but they decided not now, wrong time, wrong place. We're going to discuss pornography as a health concern to young people in the state of Florida. And all in that interim period, the NRA was being questioned, but their leader, Wayne LaPierre, one of our own, I might add, born and raised in Schenectady, New York, and Hamilton Hill, had gone on to become a lobbyist in Albany for both Democrats and Republicans. A lot of people don't know that about the history of Wayne LaPierre, the face, the leader of the NRA, because they assume he's so pro-gun, he must have been from out west, you know, a mountain state, must have been from the southwest, maybe from the south, or the heartland of America. No, Schenectady, New York, the Hamilton Hill section. And he came out today with his verbal guns blazing at the CPAC conference as he was not talking about guns so much. He was talking about Democrats.
And President Trump's election, while crucial, can't turn away the wave of these new European-style socialists bearing down upon us. I'm not just talking about Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's near the end of his career. But how about Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Bill de Blasio, Andrew Cuomo, Cory Booker, Christopher Murphy, and Keith Ellison? They are not Democrats in the mold of John F. Kennedy or Tip O'Neill. They hide behind labels like Democrat, left-wing, and progressive to make their socialist agenda more palatable. And that is terrifying.
Now, Wayne LaPierre, I understand you have a political bend, but there are Democrats who are NRA card-carrying members. You know, it's not exclusive to Republicans or conservatives. If you travel the breadth of America, you will find there are Democrats who are registered members of the NRA. I thought the NRA was to represent Americans, whether they happen to be Republicans or Democrats. But you see, he's ducking for cover because he doesn't want to address the issues that these kids have brought to the forefront. In fact, even the president of the United States had mentioned today that, well, maybe we should raise the age of those who want to purchase rifles, a.k.a. assault weapons like the AR-15 purchased by Cruz, 10 of them, I might add, to the age of 21. And what did Wayne LaPierre tell the president? Not a second are we going to engage in that dialogue. It stays at 18. Who's the leader of the United States? Wayne LaPierre or the president of the United States, Donald Trump. We'll get to him momentarily, his answer to the kind of violence that has been plaguing our school systems across America. But in upstate New York, a Republican congresswoman decided to weigh in on who these murderous thugs coming into our schools were.
A lot of these legal gun owners are going to be targeted now who have
they are being,
in their demographic, they have the least amount of crimes of virtually any other demographic.
Yeah, but they tend to vote Republican. They tend to be white. Most gun crimes are occurring in what's euphemistically called the inner cities involving minorities, and they're the ones that Democrats generally are going to bend over backwards to protect, so you don't hear about mandatory prison sentences for people involved in gun crime, say, in Albany, New York, or downtown Utica.
Yeah, well, obviously there's a lot of politics in it, it's interesting that so many of these people that commit the mass murders end up being Democrats, but the media doesn't talk about that either.
Brian Mongalooch, can I hear that again? Did this woman say that the majority of the mass killers out there happen to be Democrats? Did she really say that?
Obviously, there's a lot of politics in it. It's interesting that so many of these people that commit the mass murders end up being Democrats, but the media doesn't talk about that either.
Oh, I'm sure Cruz was a hardcore Democrat there, that screwball in Parkland. I'm sure that guy who shot up the church in Texas was a Democrat, right? The kid in Newtown, right? I'm sure he registered as a Democrat, right? Was he even of the age to be? What a dumb thing to say in the midst of something that has caused a chasm in our country, gun owners versus those who are into gun control, and you make such ridiculous statements. And then today, to add insult to injury, no relationship to the nutjob Cruz who shut up the school, but Ted Cruz in Texas decided to make fun of Democrats.
I think the Democrats are the party of Lisa Simpson. And Republicans are happily the party of Homer and Bart and Maggie and Marge.
Now, come on, Ted. You, Mr. Second Amendment, pro-gun rights, should have been serious, should have been addressing the issues of the day. But naturally, it's more divide and conquer. And look, Democrats have done the same. Look, the young lady who has become sort of the face for many of those who have begun to demonstrate for gun control, coming out of the Parkland High School, going to Tallahassee. She's been on View, the face on many of the talk TV programs. Emma Gonzalez. This is the crazy thing that she had to say just the other day.
Disband, dismantle. You're don't make another name. Organization under a different name. Don't you dare come back here. The fact that you were in power for so long and that you had so much influence for so long in America just goes to show how much time and effort we still need to spend on fixing our country. And gun control is just the first thing right now, the first thing that we are mainly focusing on.
I see. So disband the NRA. It's a legal organization. They have their right to collect funds. They have a right to make campaign contributions. I might disagree with them on many issues, but they have a right to exist. So what does Emma Gonzalez, the self-appointed leader of this youth movement, decide to do? We're going to dissolve the NRA. Boy, that really helps this situation. And then the president of the United States, Donald Trump, weighed in. Remember, his answer to school violence is to make sure the teachers who are qualified get strapped.
Concealed carry for teachers and for people of talent, of that type of talent. So let's say you had 20% of your teaching force, because that's pretty much the number. And you said it, an attack has lasted on average about 3 minutes. It takes 5 to 8 minutes for responders, for the police to come in. So the attack is over. If you had a teacher who was adept at firearms, they could very well end the attack very quickly. And the good thing about a suggestion like that, and we're going to be looking at it very strongly, and I think a lot of people are going to be opposed to it. I think a lot of people are going to like it. But the good thing is that you'll have a lot of people with that. You know, you can't have 100 security guards in Stoneman Douglas. That's a big school. It's a massive school with a lot of acreage to cover, a lot of floor area. And so that would be certainly a situation that is being discussed a lot by a lot of people. You'd have a lot of people that'd be armed, that'd be ready. They're professionals. They may be Marines that left the Army, left the Air Force. and they're very adept at doing that.
Yeah, I don't think our president has been in a classroom recently. You think so? Take an average typical high school where sometimes the students are not only challenging the teacher and disobeying the teacher and mouthing off to the teacher, but sometimes physically attacking teachers. Do we really want teachers strapped up in the classroom? And what would happen if a group of kids attacked a teacher? It would be the right of the teacher to withdraw that weapon, right, and fire in his or her self-defense. And then all of a sudden it'll be out Slim Shady Sharpton, no justice, no peace outside. And what would happen if the group of young thugs that some of these teachers have to rein in would get control of that gun from the teacher as they administer a beatdown on him or her? You know, the president really needs to think this out. In fact, the whole nation needs to calm down with these extremist views on one side and the other side that absolutely make no sense whatsoever. In fact, there's been criticism of the feds, the FBI. I would say, why aren't we asking ATF to get involved? Alcohol, tobacco, and the firearm agency. Nobody has mentioned them. Notice, in their name, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives agency. When we return here on The Drive Home at 5.
Primus in the Morning.
So far, so good.
And The Drive at 5.
There are so many ways to do it.
On air, online, on the app.
That's unbelievable.
77 WABC.
Smoke that cigarette. Puff, 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 and if you smoke yourself to death.
Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate.
5:28. As we continue on the drive home at 5, stats are in. Less people are smoking cigarettes, and that's good. But if you notice in all this discourse and debate, the yelling back and forth at the CNN town hall meeting last night, the emergence of the chicken, Wayne LaPierre originally was hatched there in the Hamilton Hill section of Schenectady. That's right. He came right out of New York. He was blaming the FBI, you know, FBI forever busting Italians, now forever busting Islamists. And you notice void from any discussion, either from the president or those gathered at the White House yesterday, parents and those who are victims of gun violence in the schools in the West Wing, or almost in any other forums. Have you heard, by the way, Brian Mangalucci, have you heard anyone suggest that instead of putting the burden on the FBI, which has to deal with terrorists, white-collar criminals, political criminals, spying going on, right? With only 15,000 agents in about 58 bureaus across America. That's half the number of cops busting their shoes and pounding donuts just alone in the NYPD. You think maybe we would have the agency that actually has the word firearms in its explanation? Alcohol, tobacco, firearms agency. Now, what do? They monitor alcohol sales, and obviously, it's a throwback to the Depression when there was a lot of hooch moonshine being made, illegal alcohol without the tax stamp. And then, naturally, they're dealing with tobacco, of which, just to give you an example, there's $25 million in taxes that the state of New York is losing because people are bringing in untaxed cigarettes from North Carolina. A similar amount of money is being lost in Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania because of that. So it's the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm agents that go after that and track that down and try to make sure that they put those guys out of business. And then they do explosive research and investigations. Right, bombs go off. Who shows up? Alcohol, tobacco, and firearm agencies. Well, what about the use of the term firearms? Now, they're supposed to monitor gun sales, right? They're supposed to keep a list, although they're not permitted to keep a national registry. Because it's people like Wayne LaPierre of the NRA who have referred to alcohol, tobacco, and firearm agents as jackbooted government thugs. That's why you never hear the name of that agency brought up in this discourse. Because immediately, to quite a few gun nutnicks out there, we don't want the jackbooted government thugs of the Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearm Agency to deal with us. Meantime, there's only like about 6,000 agents across the country. They have their own bureaus, but it's one-third the number of agents that the FBI has. Don't you think they ought to be dealing with firearm issues since they're the experts? But then again, no, let's overburden the FBI. Let's make it their responsibility so we can blame them when things go awry. But see, if all of a sudden the president were to say, I got an agency here, the Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearm Agency, that is suited to monitoring gun sales, making sure that the laws are followed, and we can eventually develop a system to keep weapons of war out of the hands of the Kukulamungas, the guys who mashug ubats with all the furniture upstairs and rearranged in the wrong rooms like Cruz. But that would make too much common sense, wouldn't it? You haven't even heard the Democrats bring up the notion of letting Alcohol, Tobacco, and the Firearm Agency deal with gun issues. Because almost nobody knows they exist. There's very little explanation in terms of what they do. And when you talk to the likes of Wayne LaPierre, he stereotypes them as jackbooted government thugs that nobody should have anything to deal with. He couldn't be more hopelessly wrong.
The Drive at 5.
Curtis Sliwa.
On the air, on the app. Curtis Sliwa, live.
My boy Curtis Sliwa.
Local.
There's a guy in a red hat.
On it.
Everybody listens to Curtis.
77 WABC.
So tired, I haven't slept a wing. I'm so tired, my mind.
5:40, yours truly, Curtis Lee. We're taking you home on the drive home at 5. Joined once again by our very dear Kumbada Cheech from The Record in New Jersey, Bill Ervolino, who's so tired he can barely speak. Is that correct, Bill?
No, I can speak. I can always talk. I talk in my sleep, so it's not a problem. How you doing?
Doing well. Getting geared up to go into the belly of the beast in Patterson.
I heard.
Start thumping thugs in the fourth ward, so I'll know better by the time I get through this weekend. But you're not talking about busting shoes and thumping thugs. You're talking about the stress and the exhaustion you get from social media?
From social media, from your diet, from your lack of exercise, from everything, every minute of your day, we're all doing something wrong, it seems. And, you know, when I started about this, because I asked one of these doctors at the sleep center in Teaneck, Holy Name Hospital, I said, it used to be Epstein-Barr, you know, because these things come and go, then you never hear about them anymore. I said, whatever happened to Epstein-Barr? He said, everybody's got it, so that's we don't even take that into consideration anymore. Everybody has it. So that's already the starting point of what's wrong. But, I mean, you know, I don't have to tell you. Everybody has got this problem going on, unless they're 19 and they're running around having a good time. Everybody is exhausted. And it's the social media, yeah, it's definitely a part of it. People are just, every time that little beep happens, everybody runs and jumps and, you know, they can't go to the toilet without taking the phone with them, and they never come out.
Bill, my grandfather on the Polish side of my family, Anton Sliwa, which is really short for Antony. He used to keep bottles of Geritol around, and he would say, hey, you feeling tired, kid? You need to deal with your iron poor blood. Swig some Geritol. He used to have a flask that he would carry around, not with gin, not with vodka, not with scotch, but with Geritol. You think maybe reviving Geritol would solve a lot of that?
Well, I think that what you're seeing is a lot of the natural stuff. I mean, stuff that you talk about and advertise even. It's just these combinations of things like tar cherry juice, like, I mean, there's so many of them that people take, the supplements, the ginseng and all this stuff to give them energy. And it's huge. I mean, that's a huge business all by itself. But I think that people are still eating wrong and they know it. You know, if you're eating wrong and you know it, all right. It's your life. Do whatever you want. I don't care. But that's a big contributor. You know, if you remember in the 80s, we used to talk about carb loading. Remember
that? Oh, sure. Burn up the carbs.
I'm going to run a marathon.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we carb load, and then we go sit down and watch television. So if you're not going to be using that, it makes you extremely tired. And people that have these big, you know, these Gumata Jimmy breakfast here in New Jersey with the tail of ham and the egg and the cheese and the bun. I mean, yeah, then they get on the bus and they fall asleep because it's like you're not doing anything.
Oh, yeah. You know, the worst thing in the world, you could be coming from Hasbrook Heights, that placebo city, jump on New Jersey Transit bus to nowhere, and some guy with brew cream in his hair, you know, he just had a bowl of Ronzoni spaghetti, you know, so he carved up. He falls asleep and all the grease is on your shoulder because he keeps leaning on your shoulder.
But this is on the bus or the train?
No, the bus. The bus. The on bus. The boulevard. They got a place, Bill Evelina. You got to do a piece on this.
I live right here. I live right there, the boulevard. It's called the boulevard.
Right. So you know, what do I know? I say, where can I catch the bus to the Port Authority? You know, Pound the Hound, New Jersey Transit Bus. They say, the boulevard. I say, what's the name of the boulevard? The boulevard.
Yeah,
I mean, what did they run out of letters on the sign?
No, I think they. I actually can't. I'm not here that long, but I think it originally had a name, but everybody called it the Boulevard, so they just changed it to the Boulevard, and that's just what happened. But anyway, let's. Yeah, there's another problem that people that this apnea, sleep apnea. People, I talk to people that drive like heavy trucks, heavy machinery, that said that they would just fall asleep. Just like out.
Yeah.
Like they had like narcolepsy because of this apnea that is keeping them up all night and has trouble breathing, blah, blah. And they have these sleep centers all over the place. And they show you this thing and everybody's like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to sleep with that gadget on my mouth and everything. But everybody that has done it says it changed their life. And so I would urge anybody, just look into it and try it. Because if you have this problem, I mean, these people literally are falling asleep while they're driving.
Well, I got to tell you. Since you live in proximity to the swampland, a.k.a. the Meadowlands,
yeah.
Where not only have there been dead bodies of organized crime buried, but all the garbage that it could hold, you would fall asleep, too, just smelling that swamp gas coming out of there all the time, right?
I don't live that far away from here. I don't really smell the swamp gas. But I know they keep filling it up with junk, and it's affecting everybody that lives north of, west of there, because the water's not moving the way it used to, because they're filling it up.
Well, I mean, if you go to the nearby Passaic River, they got some dead bodies floating by from time to time. You know, it causes a log jam.
You know, do you remember the HBO show Oz?
Sure.
Well, when they moved out to Bayonne, because they were doing they had a studio built in Bayonne, and so they're out there and they're doing a scene. They're going to go to the water where they fish a body out. That's part of the storyline.
Yes.
And they went out there and there was a body in there already.
Probably a remnant of the Standard Oil Company, Rockefeller's company years ago. You know, you used to have their refinery there and their tanks there, so. Could have gone way back. I mean, that's the gateway to the world, Bayonne. That's God's country.
Anyway, let me just say that we're doing this series of stories on all aspects of this. Are we exhausted? And I would, you know, anybody that's interested is going to be all kinds of, between funny stories, serious, medical, whatever. And I think it's a very helpful, it'll be very helpful for a lot of people. There's a lot of information.
I need to ask you this because this affects you. We were talking about the nose, the navel cavities, what you breathe in, you know, heavy breathing, apnea. How about when your foot falls asleep? Does that mean you're exhausted? You know, you get up, you fall over. It's like you got Jake leg. People think you're drunk or you're a drug addict. And it's because your foot has fallen asleep.
Do you twist it? Like, are you sitting on your foot when this happens?
Yeah, well, sometimes, out of nowhere, you know, you get up and out of your chair and immediately you go bang because your foot has fallen asleep.
I know.
You've got to explore that. Is that part of the stress of the social media that is causing our feet?
I don't think it's affecting your feet, unless you type with your feet. If you text with your feet, this could very happen. But I was getting numbness in my hand because at night I would sleep with my arm under the pillow, my head on the pillow under, and that was like, and I was like, so I stopped it. I said, could this be what it is? And sure enough, that was it.
Bill, a lot of guys have gotten numb in their hands because their hands are too busy when they're asleep below the navel. Bill, are you sure you haven't been self-pleasurizing yourself?
No. My palms are clear.
Just wanted to make sure of that. But anyway, now, if folks want to catch up to you, in addition to getting the hard copy of the record, how can they get these series of articles you're writing about everything that may stress you out and cause you to be exhausted?
Yes, our website, NorthJersey.com, has got all the stories I'm marked. Everybody is exhausted. The series is actually starting in the paper on Sunday, but many of these stories are on there already from, like I said, the humorous stuff, the serious medical stuff. I did a story on these women with these wine parties. I mean, every time a woman goes out for something, it's like there's wine involved. It's makeup and wine and Tupperware and wine and wine and everything.
But now, if you notice, the study says red wine, it used to stain your teeth. Now, all of a sudden, it cleans your teeth and it gives you good breath. You don't have horse breath.
Is that true?
Yeah, no gingivitis, none of that. You got to read up on this. And notice it comes out of Spain, in which, what is their number one product? Vineyards making wine. You think there's a little slant to that?
I love that. I love port, but it's very expensive. Maybe you send me a bottle.
Yeah, not only that, once you get a toothbrush, you know, just swish your little port in your mouth and go chug-a-dug-dug, you know, up and down. Remember, up and down, not sideways, Bill Ervolino. Anyway, check out those suggestions on what you can do to relieve your stress because of all the social media, the tweeting you're doing, you know, the Instagram, the Snapchat, the Facebooking. It's a real oofa world, isn't it? Make that a double oofa.
Deep connections, deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
77 WABC.
Come on and get a piece of this late night lover. You know, the one that swings. Like no
5:56, and it's the hip-hop monster Ja Rule from Southeast Queens, Hollis. Did you see him, Bogart, the Night You March the other day as they were storming the Bastille of Comrade Bill de Blasio and his chiefess there? I can't believe that these community organizers would let a guy who is best known as having records put out by Murder Incorporated lead the charge. You know, that's Irv Gotti and his brother. It's alleged he put the hit on 50 Cent, a.k.a. Curtis Jackson, when he got shot 9 times outside of the Rochdale housing complex in Southeast Queens. He's never lived in public housing, but he went to junior high school in Glen Oaks. That's like Leave It to Beaverland, Father Knows Best, Little House on the Prairie. Then when he went to Rikers Island on a gun charge, the real rough and tough Ja Rule was put in protective custody, Punk City, to protect him from the general inmate population. And then he shows up the other day and Bogart's the march for NYCHA. You know that march ain't going nowhere. How could you allow yourself to be bamboozled by that hip-hop monster, Ja Rule?